to think a minute about giving thanks this morning. Giving thanks. I mean, we've already had a lot of that today. And so I want us to look at turn to Psalms 107, 1 through 3. Psalms 107, 1 through 3. I want us to think about this psalm and the idea of giving thanks. Let's stand to our feet if you've got it, to God's Word, Psalms 107. Stand to your feet and let's reverence the reading of God's Word. Psalms 107, verses 1 through 3. Word of God says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Father, I pray today, may we be a people that give thanks. May you see thankfulness come through our lives and through our lips. God, may you be glorified. Thank you so much for the privilege of being here. God, I pray, hide me behind the cross, and may your word go forth in Jesus' name and all God's people say. You may be seated. Donnie, if you would, give a testimony, please.
David had asked me earlier to speak a few minutes or just a little bit about some of the things that I'm thankful for. And after the song and the service today, I may get through it and I may not. But first of all and above all, I'm thankful for a relationship with the Savior.
Amen. Amen.
And if you don't know Him personally, if you don't rely on Him personally, for so many years I didn't. Mm. I loved Him, and He loved me beyond measure, but I didn't walk with Him personally. Now I do. He's my Lord every day in everything I do. And He takes care of me and blesses me beyond measure. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but most of all that. I've got a good wife. I've got a good family. I've got a good church. And believe it or not, I got two good pastors. And I really appreciate Lee standing in for David last week and preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We don't miss a beat, David. But I'm thankful for a home. I know this is a song that it says, "I thank you, Lord, for the blessings on me. I've got a roof over my head and a good place to sleep." The stuff and the things that go along with it don't mean anything. But God loves me, and He blesses me, and Linda keeps me straight.
Thank you, God. On this Sunday, after Thanksgiving, we should be a most thankful people, should we not? Now, Thanksgiving is not just a day set apart. It's great that we do have a day set apart in our nation, that we can be off from work and give thanks, but every day the people of God should be so thankful. I'm going to tell you something. God knew the timing of this message. I had this for last Sunday. Guess what? I'm a little more thankful this Sunday, okay? I know I should. Here's the deal. I should be that way all the time, just to be honest with you. Last week, you guys know the story. I want to just give you a kind of overview of what happened as in a week. What happens when a week becomes a year? What happens when the minutes become hours? What happens when life slows down and everything that you thought was so important just goes right out the window? What happens then when God becomes so real and the people of God become so real? Sandy was complaining about her leg. Y'all knew I fell last Wednesday. I was looking for a deer and fell and busted my shoulder. And so we were going to go to the hospital and our doctor and look about my shoulder to see what was going on, because I couldn't even raise it last week. I had to do like this. Couldn't shake your hand. And so Thursday morning we got up. "Arch, so glad to see you." And we rode down. Sandy and I rode down to see Arch, and he's getting ready to have surgery. And on the way back, I stopped by the doctor about my shoulder. But that night, and he did x-rays and said it's okay. He said, didn't know what it was. He was going to send me for an orthopedic if it didn't get better. But thank God it's better, all right? sore, but it'll be all right. But she started complaining about her leg hurting that night, and before it was over with, it was swelled up twice as big as the other one. And it's like, honey, we need to go to the emergency room. She woke me up that morning early and said, I can't even walk on it. I said, we need to call and go take you to the emergency room. And I was dreading going to Watauga. Did anybody say amen? I'm sorry. Okay? But I was dreading going to Watauga, and I said, well, and she said, let's call my vein doctor, the vein specialist, and said, we'll see what he says. We called him, and he said, you got to go. He said, I tell you what to do. This was a Saturday. He said, if you'll come down here, which is an hour from Winston, he said, if you'll come down here, I'll have somebody come over. We'll do an ultrasound and see what's going on. And so we did that. We drove down to Winston, and thankful to drive down to Winston for that. We laid her in the back of the car where her leg was propped up. And I could tell when he let me come in and he opened it special. I could tell on the ultrasound that he was finding wasn't good. And he had found an extensive DVT, which is a deep vein thrombosis, which is just a fancy word for blood clot. It ran from her ankle all the way into her mid-abdomen is what we found out. I can't tell you and stress the criticalness of that and how God, here's the deal. That's could lose your life very easy. Heart attack, a stroke. It'd be very easy if they'd have broke loose. Any of that. Think about one that extensive. And so he called Baptist Hospital since we were there and went. Since you can see God's hand when you step back from it. He called Baptist and we went over there and he had a friend that was a vernacular doctor or however you say that. Vascular, I'm sorry. Whew. Yeah. Vernacular, that's your verbiage, right? Your name. But vascular, thank you, Sandy. Same close thing. He took her in and he said, we're going to have to, we went into the ER. They rushed us in when we got to the ER. They parked my car for us, took us straight back. I thought, man, we're in trouble when they do that. And we went back into the whole room and he come in and he said, we're going to do a procedure that actually goes into that vein with a cath and breaks up that clot and give her blood thinners, start her on blood thinners, and said, you know, we've got to get you in the OR as soon as possible. And so we thought it was going to happen right then. 6 hours later, we found out that it would be super. I felt a little better because everything slowed way down, and I thought they said it would be 2 o'clock in the morning before she'd get it. Said, well, better off to wait till the next day. And I thought, praise God, don't be working on my wife at 2 o'clock in the morning. We're out. And so the next day, they got us in and did a procedure. And that it was actually this time last Sunday. This time, 7 days, that's all it was. 7 days and you guys were praying, and I'm just so thankful for that. And then they come out and said that would be the first of 3 procedures, and the report was that it went so well when the next day that we went in, they just said she wasn't in there 10 minutes. I got the call from the doctor. I thought, oh, Lord, my heart sank. And he said, everything looks so good, we're not going to go any further, that she had some carotid arteries up in her hips and stuff, and that it's too dangerous or corroded or whatever. But they said it's too dangerous. You might all let Sandy tell it. Listen, I've slept since then. I'll tell you what, listen. I was. Because I honestly didn't know what was going to happen. Have you ever been there? You don't know what's going to happen. We all been there. So a lot of us have. I've been with you. When you don't know what's going to happen and you hold on to God. And you're just saying, you know what? I really didn't have a peace about it until she was in surgery and I was walking the halls praying. And I felt the Lord's peace. I thought, you know what? We're in a win-win situation right here. It doesn't matter, Lord, what you decide. I'm going to blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we have to get to that point in our walk with God that no matter what the answer is in your prayers, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, you know what? He just decided that he was going to do a display of his splendor, of his grace. And they let us go home the next day, and we thought we were going to be there through Thanksgiving. I had no idea that I would be standing here praising and giving you a report talking about what God had done. And the answer to your prayers, they were praying people. And you were praying. God answered your prayers. Thank you on this side of that. Sometimes we just take prayer and we don't think about how important it is until we're relying on it. Man, it's so important. We're so thankful, and I was thinking, I couldn't help but that's just one of the little things that God has done. Think about us as a church, as a body of believers, okay? Let's just go back. I saw on my Facebook this morning, it'll take you back 2 years ago. You know, you'll get that flashback. 2 years ago, I was living over in your house, Sherry and Lee, had our Christmas. Christmas tree up. Lord, has it just been 2 years? 2 years, think of the transition that we went through as a body, as a church family, okay? We went through a transition. And yet God, look, He's been so faithful to us. As Donnie said, the reason it's a good church, why? It's because we serve a good God. And it's full of God's people. We went through that transition, and look, we're growing as a church, and God's blessing. We're going to get to see a miracle today as 5 young people are baptized, saying, I'm no longer living to myself. I'm dying. I'm raised again to walk with Christ. That's what it symbolizes. This water does nothing. It doesn't add to the salvation. They've already made that profession of faith. It's a public testimony. I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm living to Him. I'm dying to myself. And I'm going to live for Him the rest of my life. What a miracle you're going to get to see today. I'm going to keep this out. I'm going to need it. God's good. Psalms 107, as we look quickly and we'll look and examine this. The psalmist here, it's a psalm that celebrates God's providential deliverance. Man, I can understand that this morning. His providence, and he delivers us sometimes. His answer sometimes is yes, and everything turns out just right. And so this psalm was written under the inspiration of David under that circumstance where God had delivered him. And he comes up, and I want us to think about the spiritual blessings and the theme of thanksgiving and the motives that we are to be thankful for, where he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look, first I want us to look at why give thanks, verse 1. Why give thanks, and what does it say? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Giving thanks is all that we can give, and it's the least that we can give. We should be thankful people. Giving thanks always. We should be looked upon as people of thanksgiving unto God. The psalmist is so earnest that this injection of, oh, give thanks to the Lord. He understood what it was to be delivered from God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, he says. It intensifies his fervency of his praising his Lord. And he's saying to praise Him with what? With our lips and with our lives. Thanksgiving and thanks living. See, there's something about saying thanks with our lips, but to our lives play out a life of being thanksgiving unto God. Thanks living. Living out what we say with our lips, saying we're so thankful to God, then are we walking in His precepts? Are we walking by what His commandments? Are we living in thanks? Are we helping and reaching out to others? Are we sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us? The lostness that we saw in that video this morning, it's everywhere. It's in your country. It's in your backyard. It's surrounding us, and darkness closes in. We are to shine the light when the darkness closes in. We should be people of great thanks. We worship God with thanks for what it says, for His goodness. For He is good. Is God good? You better believe He is. You can hang your hat on that one, my friend. When we don't understand sometimes the things that are going on, I've told people this. When you have a loved one, maybe a sibling that's walking away from the Lord, you might have grandchildren that's out there that don't know where they're at, if they're lost, saved. You might have a daughter or a son that you don't know if they know Jesus Christ or not. And you know what you say? How do we deal with that? Is God good? Is God just? Can you trust His hand? You better believe you can. And so you put them right back in their hand where He belongs anyway. And you say, Lord, here it is. That's your child. That's on you. That's your grandson. That's your husband. That's your wife. Lord, it's on you. Is He good? He said, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. God is good. A little kid song. God is so good. He's so good to me. Psalmist said we can count on that one thing. If God is just, if God is good, then I don't have to worry about all the what ifs, okay? He's good. Psalmist understood that. But he doesn't quit there. What does he go on? You know what? Here's the deal. God doesn't want artificial praise from lost people, the unredeemed, okay? He doesn't want artificial praise from a world that don't know Him personally. He wants praise from His people and from His children, those that have been touched by His hand. He says, give me praise. Our praise should increase as we understand the divine nature of our God, His goodness. And He goes on to say, for His mercy endures forever. He's good. Aren't you glad for mercy? You better say amen. Aren't you good for mercy this morning? Aren't you glad you didn't get what you deserved? And then grace, you got what you didn't deserve. Mercy, we didn't get what we deserved. You know what I deserved? Right here, your pastor, I deserved hell. I deserved complete separation from God. Why? Because I was born in a sin and I was a sinner. I walked in sinful ways for 28 years. I turned my back on the things of God. I thumbed my nose at God. Didn't need anything. Why? Because I did what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. Why? That's just the American way. And we men, that's what it's all about sometimes. Let me tell you, that ain't what it's about. It's about serving a God and when He says, and what He says for you to do, not doing what you think you should. Because His mercy endures forever. I love this. In the Hebrew, the translator added the endures. This is how it read, for His mercy forever. For His mercy forever, man. For His mercy forever. The psalmist said, oh, give thanks to the God, for He is good. His mercy forever. He understood mercy. He understood not getting what he deserved. The psalmist did. We should too, as God's people. The mercy had no beginning and it shall never have an end, okay? Our sin required goodness, that it should display itself to us in the form of mercy, okay? God did not give us what we deserve. The Bible said, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were enemies of God. He didn't look down and say, oh, that Dave, one of these days he's going to be a pastor at South Fort Baptist Church. I think I'll just say to him. No, he said, when I was spitting in his face, when I was thumbing myself at God, when I said, I don't need him, he said, Christ died for me. Let me tell you, that's mercy this morning, okay? That's something to be thankful about. We should give thanks. We should never be slack in praising the goodness of our God. Has God been good to you? Has God been good to you? When's the last time you told somebody about how good He is to you? Something to think about. Why give thanks? Well, look. Who gives thanks? Look at verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We just sang that song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Right. I'm what? I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we just go through it and mouth it. We don't even think about the words that we're saying. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The blood-bought child of God. The one that's been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He said, let him say so. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He said, you wasn't bought with silver and gold. You wasn't bought with something monetarily, something that don't mean nothing, right? But you was bought with what meant everything, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 5, when you're looking at that, one of the most beautiful verses in all Scripture, where John the Revelator, he goes there in heaven and he sees a tribe and tongue. He sees all these people around the throne of God. And what are they saying? What are they saying, John? You were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. You know what they're saying? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Man, are you going to be in on that one of these days? I don't know about you, but we better practice up, because we're going to be right there, okay? And you're going to be singing, worthy is the Lamb. Why? Because He's given His blood for you and me. The reason we're here, that's the common denominator. If you don't know Christ, don't you leave here without Him today. Because you'll never be around that throne. You'll never be part of that group in Revelation 5 without Jesus. Tell of His goodness, mercy, and grace of God. How He saved you. How you came to know Him. Some of us got great testimonies that we share. I said, guess what? They're all great testimonies. That person that says that I grew up in a Christian home. Mom and Dad took me to church before 9 months before I was ever born. All I've ever known is the things of God. Listen, that's the greatest testimony of all. not some debauched life that had to come to God through the darkness and the life of this world. We think that that's a great testimony. The great testimony is the one that can say, I never experienced these things. Why? Because God has kept me from them. Your testimony is great. Don't let the world dictate what you think your testimony is good or not. If you can say, God has saved me, as Donnie did this morning, if you can say, Jesus has saved me, that's a great testimony. Share it. Share it. We have overwhelming reasons to share the goodness. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's redeemed us. What does that mean? He's bought us back, okay? Where was we at? We were sold into the slavery of sin. Shackled, without hope. So immense that we can't even grasp it. The redemption is so complete that we should be compelled to give thanks at all times. How? What did he say? How? By saying so. By saying so. Letting your lips, first letting your life play out what your lips are saying, okay? But saying so. Don't let anybody say, oh, he's a good person or she's a good person. We like that. We want people to think that of it. But tell them why you're good. There's no goodness in me except Jesus Christ and Him alone. Let me tell you what I used to be before I came to know Christ. How I came to know Him and what I am after Him. And He gets all the glory. There's no goodness here except Jesus Christ and Him alone. Share and let them say so. You know what He said in Mark chapter 16? And when He said, go ye therefore into all the world. We saw them missionaries that are willing to do that. Do you know you're a missionary right where you're at? Where you're planted, your workplace, your school, wherever you are in your community, where you live. He said, go ye. Mark says this, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And listen to what it says, and they went out and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Still going on today. 11 men turned the world upside down. How do I know that? Well, I'm looking at a whole group of people. 2015, you want it real and relevant? Right here in Todd, North Carolina, look around. Why are we sitting here? Because 11 men took what God said in obedience, walked out, and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did it cost them? Their lives. What did they lose? Nothing. They gained everything. Paul said, man, for me to live is Christ, but to die is the gain. Why? Because he knew he was going to be with his Savior one of these days. Expend yourself on the gospel. Expend yourself saying so, letting people know. It's the answer to the world's problems. You've heard me say that. What's wrong with the world? It needs Jesus. ISIS don't need to be wiped out. They need Christ. They need Jesus. You want to see them turn around? Give them Jesus. Let them have the Lord Savior. Lord, you say, well, they're not worth that. You weren't either. None of us were. We were all enemies. Oh, if we would just get a hold of what He's called us to do. That's to share Christ. We should be, of all people, singing His praises this morning. Why? Because He's saved us. He's redeemed us. And then lastly, what are we to thank Him for? Look at verses 2 and 3. Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from east and from the west and from the north and from the south. He snatched us out of the hand of Satan, okay? He redeemed you back. He bought you back. He's our great liberator, okay? He set you free. And if you're free, you're free indeed. He liberated you from the shackles of sin. He set us free to live for Him. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. Should not emancipated slaves be grateful for the hand which set them free? We should be thankful. We should live a life because of what He has done and set us free and liberated us from sin. What gratitude can equal that of what the Scripture says where we, back to Revelation 5, where He says, worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and glory and power. Man, that should be our song. Worthy is the Lamb. Our glorious Shepherd guides us through the countless peril, and then He makes us to lie down in the green pastures of paradise. You know what? This life's short. This life is short and will soon be over. One out of one of us, and don't matter how young or how healthy you are, will die. If God tarries, if Christ tarries, He's coming. Okay, you want statistics? That's a pretty good one. What are you doing with the life that He's giving you now? We should burn out for the Lord. Man, we should be all about sharing what God has done for us. And then I love what he says, and gathered. He says, who has redeemed them the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the land. You know what? After redemption comes gathering. Gathering follows redemption. That's why we're here this Sunday morning. Why do we gather? We don't choose, well, I think I'll go to church today. We should say because of thankfulness, we come and we worship him. It's not a choose. What do? We gather because we've been redeemed. We gather because we're God's people and we come to worship him and focus on him. That's why we gather. Why? Because he's brought us from all different places of life. Man, we could stand up here and probably give story after story of what God has done for us. We're all wanderers, okay? God brought us back into one flock. We should, with one heart and one voice, let everybody know about our great Lord and Savior. He deserves our praise. He commanded us to do so, by the way. We have a story to tell that the world needs to hear. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. When was the last time you stood and gave thanks to the Lord for his awesome goodness? Wendy, where are you at, Wendy? Come here, honey. Share your testimony.
Man, my husband told me that David wanted me to speak on what I was thankful for. He said, oh goodness, she will not stop talking. I have so much to be thankful for. One of the things that God has been working on for almost 5 years was finding a church family for my husband, myself, and our big group of kids. We've gone to so many churches. They were all wonderful, but we weren't tithing to those churches because we just, I guess, were being very sinful and not being very good. When we came here, my husband said we're home. We immediately started tithing. And the rewards that we have received have been so much greater even than what we've been giving him. I mean, we don't have a lot. We give sometimes a whole lot more, and we just trust that, okay, God, we gave you some of our food money this week, and he's rewarded us with better meals when we were giving what little we had. Biggest thing is giving to God. You will always get so much more than you deserve. You will always get so much more than you've ever asked for. His blessings on our life have been tremendous. We have one of our daughters who's been baptized today. Since we've been bringing her to his house, he's been hearing her word. Of course, my husband's a wonderful spiritual leader in the house and prays with Annie and Vivi in the morning that they will listen to Daddy and behave. We've just been so blessed. I could just go on and on. I have a tremendously difficult time having a blended family. It's very difficult to step in the role as mother to a child who's biologically not yours. Stepping on toes is not easy. God has helped me with that. She calls me mommy now. We have Raven and Hayden who are going through so much, and the one thing that God has laid on my heart is give them to me. Stop trying to do this yourself. And since I have done that, not only has he blessed my children and blessed me, but he's actually blessing my ex-husband. He's laid on my heart. Every time you have a bad thought about them, which is a lot, pray for them. It's a lot. And every time I have a negative thought, every time I obey him, I have so much to be thankful for because he blesses me. He gives me so much more just by doing something as simple as listening. And I just want to thank him so much for bringing us here. I'm so thankful to all of you for all of your love and support. But I'm just, this year he's given us a home of our own. He's given us our church family. He's given us so much in such a short period of time, and half of it we didn't even really ask for. He just knew what we needed. So even those unanswered, I guess not unanswered, I guess some of those prayers that I don't ask for because I'm just trusting He's going to do it, He does it in abundance.
My baptismal candidates, if you'll come forward, please, and get ready for your baptismal. Part Lynn, if you'll come and play some. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You're getting ready to witness one of the greatest miracles. People saying they're ready to live for Christ for the rest of their life. And you know whose responsibility it is for us to help them with that, don't you? It's all of our responsibility. I want us to think about that as we begin our baptismal service. Know something. I've talked to every one of these candidates, and all of them understand that this water doesn't do anything to save you more, all right? This water is just him showing, Walker saying, I've died to myself, and I'm alive now to live for Christ. And so I want you to understand that it has no mystical powers, nothing, but it's our act of obedience and following the Lord. He said for us to be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Walker, have you received the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? By your testimony, my brother, that I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Emma, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Then by your testimony, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Her sister, what good thing for two sisters to be baptized on the same day. Abby, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, your testimony then, my sister, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. special father and son, our father and daughter process right here. Elena has come, and what better thing than a dad to get to baptize his daughter? Start playing again, and we'll come out. Yeah. Oh, they're changing. Let's all stand to our feet, if you would. It's been good to be in the Lord's house today, hasn't it? I want to ask you a couple questions. Do you know that you've been redeemed? As we go into our time of invitation, do you know that you've been redeemed? You know there's a point in your life that you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not just mouth something, not just maybe walked an aisle, but something changed. It said, when you receive Christ, you become a new creation. You can go back to that marker and say, right there is where I changed. Right there is where God started working in my life. If you can, come forward in our invitation time when we start. When was the last time you shared your faith? Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty here. If we understand it, let the Redeemer, the Lord, say something. When's the last time you shared Christ with somebody? Or even invited them to church? When was the last time you did that? If you really understand you're redeemed, Scripture says we should be doing that. What kind of thanksgiving and thanks living does the Lord want for you this morning? We're going to have our time of invitation. If God has spoken to you, I don't want you to hesitate for a moment. I want you to come forward. If you're lost, come receive Christ, please, today. I'm not going to beg you. I'm just going to say, don't leave here lost. If you don't know you have Christ, today's the day. People are here. What about you? Is God telling you something? Be obedient. Please. Thanksgiving is being obedient. Thanksgiving's with our lips, but thanksgiving is living out what He's told you to do. Whatever He's saying to you, we're just going to pray. No singing. It means you're between you and God. Give long though. Do you surrender all? God's working. What about you? Walking in a house and very foreign to you. You need to talk to me about Christ. Please let me know that, please. Where is our baptismal candidates? Let's get them out here. We'll receive them. We need to give them the right hand of fellowship today. They're part of you now, okay? They're part of you. Hey, yeah, you are welcome. It don't take guys as long. Even testimony while they're waiting. 50 years. Amen, Vaughn. Amen. 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 Come here, lady. Caitlin. You ready, Vaughn? Still waiting on him, honey. Abby. Anybody else while we're waiting? Testimony. I'm thankful. Thank you, Lee, for filling in, as Donnie said. Thankful that when we were down there last week, about got out about this time, I knew I had a church family praying for me. Thank you for being that church family. We're going to recognize our baptized members. Does everybody, let's give everybody a right hand of fellowship. I know them girls will be out here in just a minute. But what's the pleasure of the church? What about all those in favor? Say amen. 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 Come on, girls. They just received you anyway. But listen, come by, give them the right hand of fellowship today, okay? Thank you so much for this service. Thank you for being people that love the Lord. Listen, share. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Share your faith this week. Invite somebody to come to church. Breakfast next Sunday morning would be a good time. Bring somebody with you. Share. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock next Sunday. Don't forget, women, tonight also, you're having your women's movie night. And kids choir. So here we go. Now I want you to give them right hand of fellowship. Lead, pray, and dismiss them. Thank you all.